B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up? How we doing?
Hi. Really good.
Great.
Awesome.
A little bit of a delay getting going here. Not used to that yet. Shift change. How's the NFL doing? Are they going to start on time?
Not well. I think they are. I mean, they've modified a few things.
So I've generally speaking been against the delay.
CNFL. They're going to...
No, wait.
It's the NFL.
I'm not one of those guys.
The NFL, they're going to...
It's the NFL. Bet your ass they're going to plow through coronavirus.
They do that. They
I've
do
heard
that,
that already. They I, do, I don't agree with that.
It's the NFL. They do, come on. Yeah.
NFL. Yeah.
A little extra rock music whenever I say NFL. NFL. Waka waka.
NFL's gonna plow right through, guys.
Hell yeah.
We're not saying that. I've actually been against them pushing back because I think this probably continues to get worse, not better. So get the season going. That's important to get it going. Except now I see what they're sort of up to, and I'm starting to second guess my opinion. I'm starting to second guess myself.
What would make you second guess? Right now, we know there's no preseason. There's no preseason.
Right?
No preseason. Correct. So they're going to start.
Well, is that official?
Oh.
It's not official yet. It's out there, it's reported, but no one has officially been on the record saying, no, this is the case. We're not playing a single game. Right?
For our purposes today, there will be no preseason.
Let's assume there are no games. There are no preseason games. We assume that camp was beginning on August 28th, right?
July 28th.
What did I say, August?
Yeah.
No. Well, it feels like it's going to be August 28th. And I say this because when they said camp will start on the 28th, which is about a week, it's like the week after...
Oh, Charlie's in there. Oh, good.
Oh, good. No, we're totally screwed. We're going to do the whole show with that song playing. So, normally camp would start this week, right? This is the week camp would start, and it would be now the 28th. Okay, got it. They're going to have a ramp-up period. Acclimation period, according to Bert Breer, who tweeted about it this morning or late last night, and... when you say they're back on the 28th, that figure, okay, that's training camp. Like, they normally have training camp. They get going right away. It doesn't sound like they're really going to do much until late August. So if that's the case, doesn't that mean that maybe they are not going to be ready to play a game at the start of September?
Okay, if they begin their camp on the same timeline that camp would begin in order to play preseason game number one, then I don't see why it's any problem at all for them to begin the camp, and instead of playing preseason game number one, you play regular season game number one.
Okay, let me read you the tweet as Bert Breer wrote it last night at 7 o'clock. Rough post-testing timeline the NFLPA gave its players tonight. August 3rd through the 14th is the acclimation period, strength and conditioning. Starting on August 15th, practice ramp up.
It's like base camp for summiting Everest. We're going to get you acclimated.
Yeah,
then we're going to go. We're going to go up to camp one. Then we're going to climb back down, and then we're going to go up to camp two, spend the night, and then come back down.
August 15th begins the practice ramp up, which has helmets and then shells. Late August or early September,
yeah,
they will have 8 padded practices prior to playing week one.
Yeah.
That does not feel like a lot of preparation for the football season. It really doesn't. And it says, this one's still being negotiated. That's what Bert adds at the end. But as of right now, under that plan, that doesn't feel like a lot of work that the teams are going to put in before week one. And the NFLPA is telling their players that there will not be a preseason right now. So, again, this is what the union is telling their players. And they're pushing right now for a longer ramp-up period. The ramp-up with the helmets, they're pushing for that to be longer, Hardy, not shorter. They're pushing for a longer ramp-up, and the season is still going to begin on 50 days from now. I know 50 days is a lot of time. It would be a lot of time if in 8 or 9 days they were going to have a real practice.
I understand.
Which under normal circumstances, they'd be having a real practice this week.
Right. But with the expectation of playing 4 preseason games.
Understood. They're still going to scrimmage themselves.
Things are going to be different. They didn't have their OTAs. They didn't have mini camp. Right? So they're going to have to readjust the camp schedule leading into anything. They're gonna modify things just based on those two things alone, Beetle. No OTAs and no minicamp. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So already there's gonna be modifications. Without a preseason, there will be further modifications. But you're telling me that whatever way they want to schedule it, however they want to, you know, slide the schedule around and draw different things on the whiteboard, you're saying that you get a bunch of guys who are already, with the exception of the rookies, already professional football players into the facility, and in 2 weeks you can't be ready to play a game? I don't believe
it. A game that actually counts for something and play 4 full quarters?
Yep.
I think that's really hard to do.
It is going to be hard to do, but
really,
they can do it.
They've never done it before.
No, they've never done any of this stuff before.
I understand
before.
That, but I'm saying this has never been done.
So what do you want them to do?
So this is the thing. A lot of people keep saying, push it back a month, push it back a month, right? What if they need an extra week or two? Can they do that? Is that on the table? Instead of the push it back a month crowd, which has been the argument on the other side of not starting on time. What if we find some middle ground there? I think pushing it back a month is too much.
So you reschedule every game, including the Thanksgiving games, and you figure out a whole new schedule.
Well, no, you just start your schedule, or what you do is you take the week one and week two game, and you tack them on at the end. So you keep all the other travel intact, all your other plans, mm-hmm. travel, schedules, buildings, whatever, you keep it all intact, and you just start up.
You're going to have teams going on the bye after a week then.
They would have to adjust that. Yeah,
so there's a lot of adjusting.
When's the first bye week?
Week 4 or 5?
I think it's 5, right?
So I'm just saying, you push it back a week, 2, okay, 3, we can do 3 and we can tack on the 3. There's a lot of adjusting that's going
to
happen.
I go back to my belief that I don't believe they're going to be able to get the schedule done in 17 weeks. There's going to be a halt at some point.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Flu season. An actual second wave as opposed to a prolonged first wave. Who knows what's going to happen? What I believe, though, is that delaying it a week or two is not going to do you any favors beyond the guys are a little bit more ready now. They're a little bit more ready. I think they'll be ready. I think they'll be ready with a couple of weeks in a modified camp leading up to game one regular season game one.
You worried about guys getting hurt?
Always.
Are you worried about the New England Patriots not being ready for the season? Because this is part of my reasoning.
Well, yeah, from a selfish standpoint.
Selfishly?
Stiggy and Cam and Brian Hoyer and everything, they all need as much work as they can get, but they're not getting it this year.
Well, I think selfishly, the Patriots have rookies that they're going to need to rely on. They have a new quarterback. They have reasons that a couple of weeks might make a huge difference.
Totally different reasoning.
It's a different reason.
For that, I'm not going to argue against that. The Patriots be well served by having extra time. You can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have no preseason games and have oodles of more time to get ready for the season. No.
Yeah. After seeing that Burt Breer tweet, I've started to understand the people that say this will be a disaster of a product if they go on this schedule. And I don't think it's going to be pretty in the beginning. It's going to be, you know, I know that the product will take a hit this year. Naturally, there's less preparation. There were no mini camps. There were no OTAs. I get it. But this now, after seeing that timeline, okay, now I see what you're talking about. This could be bad. It could be really ugly. Could be an ugly looking thing.
It could be, and it could just result in bad football games, but it could manifest itself in different ways too. Let's say you get a team out there whose defense isn't totally prepped against a team whose offense is playing well. Now, that's going to be bad for the team with the ill-prepared defense, but in terms of a product, you know, if by having a team less prepared than another, and we end up with a couple of, you know, 45-7 games. Okay, from an average viewer's standpoint, that's not so bad. Just give me a bunch of offense. Give me some showtime offense out there going up against defenses that didn't have enough time. It's unfair. It's not balanced. Right. All bets are off this year. A lot of people are going through a lot of things that are much less fair, and you know, you deal with it and you move on and you do the best that you can. It's going to result in some crap games. We get crap games anyway. We get crap football games every season. You might have a handful more.
There is an owner in the league who is talking about possibilities for the season and how this might go. Openly. In an interview, on the record, not anonymously.
An owner that we know and trust and think highly of to begin with?
Oh, without a doubt. It would be the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, Mark Davis. Mark Davis has some comments on the options the league has right now.
Okay.
We will tell you what his options are. We'll get to that. We've also got some items on Cam Newton and the Patriots this hour as well as we start the day talking football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phone lines are open as always, 617-779-0985. Solak and Bertrand with Beetle, Hardy and McCone. Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, has some options for the league. He had a conversation with ESPN. And he's got three things that the league can do. Reading from ESPN.com, it was Paul Gutierrez who had the story. Let me read you what he had to say. He says, if no fans are admitted, Davis said he will not attend games either. He apparently doesn't realize he owns the team. But in solidarity, if no fans are admitted to the stadium this fall in Vegas, Davis also will not be going to the games. He's going to stay home like them.
I mean, you can't make a case that he's an essential employee. He doesn't have to be there. So I understand what he's saying. I mean, he has every right to, but okay, he's not going to.
And by the way, it sounds like he might be airing his grievances a little bit in this conversation and interview. Because he, as they write, as the lone dissenting vote on the league's owners, on the league owner's recent decision to tarp off the first 8 rows of seats from the field, Davis said the Raiders' idea of leaving the seats for fans and erecting hockey-style plexiglass around the bottom of the stadium to separate fans from players on the sidelines was shot down before the vote. Do you think that him not understanding that the distance is good and that the advertising revenue from those banners that will now go over those seats will help the league?
Yeah, but compared to what they were...
Do you think his failure to understand those things might be why under even good circumstances and no pandemic, that team is nearly broke all the time?
Yeah.
That might be it.
That could be, but you have to, like, from a Mark Davis perspective, and again, for our purposes here, let's think about him as we would any other normal person, yeah. Right? And not, well, not as Mark Davis.
Okay.
Even he understands what was supposed to be happening in Las Vegas this fall. This was going to change the league. I mean, in terms of what fans would be willing to do to travel to see their team. You know, what that stadium was going to be in that town, what it was going to be. You've got a brand new city that's never had an NFL team before. Now they've got one, and it is built for this. I mean, this was going to be this was something that was going to live up to the hype. You know, very few things in this world do. A football team in Las Vegas. This was going to be big, and it's all. It's gonna you know, just start, if it does, with a fizzle, and it's not gonna be anything like he was hoping for. So whatever droopy dog scenario and whatever droopy dog act he's got going on right now, I get it. This was supposed to be the biggest thing to happen in the NFL in decades, and it just ain't happening.
Well, he says, my mindset today is no fans should attend games. He says, I don't even know if it's safe to play. Uncertainty is the word. So it says, regardless of fans at games, Davis said he sees 3 options for the NFL at the moment. Number 1, go on as planned with teams reporting for training camp over the next week and see what happens.
I don't know that that's a plan anymore. When was this published?
Today. Or, yeah, actually a couple days ago.
Okay.
Plan number 2. Delay the start of the season until November and go to a 12-game season, canceling each team's 4 interconference games. For the Raiders, that would mean games at Panthers and Falcons and home games against the Saints and Buccaneers. So that is delay until November. That is skipping both September and October, removing 4 games, playing a 12-game season. Not a terrible idea. The delay part is too much. But if you need to remove games and you're going to do that before you start playing them, that might be an option to go to a 12-game schedule. Could be.
Yeah. I mean, could you make a case for getting rid of 1 game from each of your conference teams,
let
too?
Instead of playing the Dolphins,
Jets, and Bills twice, you play each team once?
Okay, 50 days until the first game is to be played. If over the next 40 days, which is more than a month, things get significantly worse in this country with the handling of the pandemic,
yep,
and they realize that the chances of completing a season are shrinking, would you hate them for saying, we're going to push back a couple of weeks and we're going to do a 12-game schedule and we're going to leave some gaps in there?
I wouldn't hate them for it, but I would be the first to say I don't think it's going to solve anything. If things are getting that much worse, then you're postponing the inevitable, which is a cancellation of the season.
I would agree. But you know how things have gone with everything. You start to cancel a little bit, and then you cancel the whole thing.
Well, or you postpone again, and then you cancel.
Right. McCone?
Oh, they won't turn his mic on. Oh. Poor fella.
That's too bad.
Look, he's even wearing a shirt with a graphic on it today. He got all dressed up. Do we have him yet?
I don't think he works.
No, his mic is on. That's the weird part.
I think he's broken. He's moving his lips, but there are no words coming out.
He's probably messing with us. He's probably moving his lips, but
he's got the
polar
shirt on today.
I know. I've never seen McCone wear anything other than...
He's a Worcester guy. They hand him out to anybody. You know?
McCone dresses like a Mormon, now that I think about it. You know, no logos, nothing flashy, light blue dress shirts. I don't even think I've seen him wear a polo. Even that's a little risque, open at the neck. White T-shirts, just nothing flat. That's a big step for him.
Can't hear him still. He talks like...
Get Charlie back in here.
This is so great.
We need McCone today, too.
Do we?
Yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
We have a McCone-centric segment.
Oh, that's right.
We have a couple of them.
Third option for Mark Davis, cancel the season entirely. That doesn't feel like much of a plan. Cancel. Not doing this. All right.
Well. But those are the options, I mean, for him.
In his mind.
I would say the other option, which is not listed here, would be a modification of one. Option one, go on as planned. Teams reporting for training camp over the next week, see what happens. I would say, and 1A, modifying training camp, but go on as planned with regular season week one. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you modify your preseason, and that includes camp, but you go on as planned with the week one schedule.
And he's speaking out when at a time when I don't think they want owners really doing their own thing. That's McCone's problem. What is going on there?
I think we're good now. I think we're good.
Okay.
What were we were talking
about? What were you going to say?
Yeah, we were talking about...
It was nothing constructive.
It was postponing the inevitable by...
Oh, the games.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think that the league, the last thing they want to do is give back 4 games worth of TV revenue, right? I mean, if they're already losing
fans at
the gate.
Well, no, not willingly. They don't want to give back anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they would try to delay, like Hardy said, as much as possible before they decide to go to 12 games. I also think, like, in terms of owners, there's guys like Cuban and Kraft who, like, are problem solvers that I feel like guys like Adam Silver or Goodell go to. I don't think Mark Davis necessarily falls in that camp.
Yeah. Because this story is great because he keeps complaining about the 8 rows of no fans. He keeps airing the grievance throughout this story.
Do you know what those first 8 rows are supposed to be like in that new Vegas stadium?
The black hole. That's what he said. This is the new black hole.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really nice. He wants those seats.
But he also
has... He's got a shiny new toy and he can't play with it.
He says the Raiders
got to be frustrated.
Have sold out for the season, and they have no room to move fans from those 8 rows.
No, this you're not going to have to worry about.
Move them up a little. Have you seen other stadiums where they're saying we're going to have 10 or 15,000 fans in the building?
Okay, well, you know he has some.
He goes, now maybe... I've got 8,000 people that help build this thing, and they can't come to the game. I don't have 8,000 seats to move them to. We're sold out. He can't figure out that math problem that you kick out 8,000 other fans.
No, he has 8,000 seats next year to move them to. That's where they're moving to next year. They're all moving to next year.
He's saying if he has fans in the building, where's he going to move these 8,000 fans?
I'm telling him he's got to move them to next year. Worry about this year. Worry about next year.
He says the optics are terrible. Advertising on top of seats belonging to people that you're telling you can't come to the game? I'd rather have everybody pissed at me than just one person. I've got to make it up to them, and I will. This is about all the safety and equity. He's pissed about the 8 rows of seats. This is the hill he's going to die on. The first 8 rows of seats. In a season in which you've got so many different challenges, the thing that Mark Davis is consumed with is the 8 rows of seats. Holy crap. This guy is a boob. He really is. His options: play 12 games, just roll out the balls and let's play, and then the third one, let's just cancel everything. Yeah, I don't think he is the voice the NFL needs right
He's
now.
He's the only guy that's come out and said, though, it might not be safe for them to play.
That
He's the only
true.
Owner that said which that. That's what I give him respect
league,
for.
Which the league is going to be pissed about.
Oh, yeah.
You know the league is pissed that he said this. But he's honest. That's an honest assessment. Nobody knows if it's safe. In fact, logic would tell you it's probably not safe. It's going to be up to individual players to keep themselves as safe as possible when they're not at the facility. He's an interesting cat, isn't he? Let's talk about Cam Newton.
It's just that, you know, it's some of his scenarios. It's like you wonder if he has like that picture. Got to get that picture off our screen over there. Look behind.
I see
that
it.
One. Yeah. Come on, I can't talk about this guy. Look at that. You wonder, it's like, was he up to date on all his facts and all the things that have already been decided before they were asking him these questions? It's almost like he was out of the loop on a couple of things.
Nah, he's all there. He's not going to the games, though. The fans can't go. He's not going. Cam Newton is upset with his Madden rankings. He's not happy about it. And also, Cam Newton's been working out with a...
Seems like a reasonable thing to be concerned with.
With a Patriots teammate. We'll get to both of these items on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What he was, what he is great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right, you know, and I told, hey, you're getting a dog.
Cam Newton in a video with Odell Beckham Jr. from a couple of weeks ago.
I think it was last week. I don't think you got a chance to comment on that.
Was it last week? I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
Last week it was when
Ted was in.
Ted was in with me and Zoe.
Oh, no kidding.
So you're Cam Newton telling the people there in his YouTube roundtable, Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz that
it's Victor Cruz's show, right?
I don't know.
It's his show.
Oh. It's on Odell Beckham's YouTube channel, it is. Yeah.
It sounds like it's Cam's show. Cam's show is in New England.
That's the type of personality he is.
Okay, so
dominant personality.
Let Josh McDaniels. He said A. Oh, re-rack. A. He's
NFL's pushing through.
First of all, he's following Tom Brady in New England. That's the guy he's coming after.
Right.
Right. And when he said coming after, we're like, are you coming after Stidham and his job? No, I'm coming after Tom. You know, Tom's the first, now it's me. So that's, you know, I think about that. And I also think about being able to tell Josh McDaniels, hey, now you can run plays you're never able to run before. What do you think?
Coach McDaniels, are you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now?
Stop him when he's wrong. Is he wrong?
All right. You know, and I thought, hey, you're getting a dog.
You're getting a dog.
Is he wrong?
He is getting a dog. Don't be like that cat.
So I actually I love that approach. He doesn't need to beat out Jarrett Stidham in his mind. He needs to rise to the level of Tom Brady in New England. You know, we talked about Jarrett Stidham. If he were to beat out Brian Hoyer and if it were just the two of them in camp, right? Oh, what does that mean to teammates, to anybody? Oh, great. He beat out Brian Hoyer. Guy threw like 14 interceptions in a playoff game once. What does that mean? Cam Newton beating out Jarrett Stidham? Same thing. What does that mean? Oh, the league, former league MVP and first overall pick and everything on his resume beats out a guy who's never started an NFL game, and that's an accomplishment? Not in his mind, it isn't. In his mind, he wants to rise to the level of Tom Brady in New England. He needs to match that level of competitiveness and level of play, because that is the level that has been the norm in New England. I love that approach. It's a much better approach than, I've got to beat out Jarrett Stidham. No, I've got higher expectations. And I'm saying, you know, what Cam's thinking. No, I don't need to beat out Jarrett Stidham. I need to be the next Tom Brady here. I need to be that guy. I'm following that guy. I'm chasing that guy. I got to go after him. Try to be as great as he was. Beating out Jarrett Stidham, that's not an accomplishment. An accomplishment would be coming in and having the Patriots not skip a beat without Tom Brady. It's a much better mindset.
It's a good mindset as long as you can show up with the requisite skill set and the health to make good on it. Otherwise, it's only going to be bad for Cam. I guess it wouldn't be bad for anyone else. But for him specifically, you know, he does need to recognize that they seemingly did have another plan in place here. You know, he's thinking of himself as being a bit of like, you know, I'm the answer. I'm the savior here. You know, the season was going to be lost without me. That's his mindset. It's just not, it's not a very team mentality.
I didn't hear that in there.
All right.
I didn't hear that in there.
Well, he's taken over for Tom Brady.
Yes.
What were they going to do if he didn't show up?
Roll with somebody else. That's not his concern. Yeah. His concern is that he's here now and he wants to be the next Brady, which I don't think he's going to be, but hey, strive to be that. That's something to strive for. Beating out Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham's never played a game. Beat out him.
Well, he's played in games. You know, he's been on a preseason football field. He's mopped up a little bit.
Sure.
Actual games.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. So not only is he saying that last week in that video with Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr., he's a little upset about his Madden ratings.
I don't even know what these mean.
McCone does.
I do. Doesn't exactly fit with what the Patriots usually preach, but yeah.
He says this is unacceptable in response to a graphic by the Patriots. And not that he's finding anything the team is doing unacceptable. He's finding Madden unacceptable. Here are the ratings for players over an 80 in Madden on the Patriots. Gilmore's at a 99. Devin McCourty's at a 92. And the rest of these guys are below 90 and in the 80s. Hightower, Edelman, Mason, McCourty, Tooney, Andrews, Chung, Jones, Jackson, White, Guy, Michelle, and John Simon. All above 80. Cam Newton is not in the group. He's at 78. He finds it unacceptable. Does he know that he only played two games last year? Has anyone told him yet that he only played two games last year and then had a pretty bad injury in 2018, too, with the shoulder?
That affects the rankings. That affects the Madden rating.
Did anyone let him know? Did anyone let him know that only one team apparently wanted him? Had any interest in bringing him on board this offseason? And it was the team he's on now? He does know there were no other suitors, right? I'm just checking. Should you be upset that Cam Newton cares about his Madden ranking? Is this something that is not worth being upset about? Yes, that's true. But I would say get out there. Try to be the next Tom Brady, and the rating will go up. That's the beauty of Madden. Your rating can go up, McCone.
It can.
Doesn't have to stay where it's at.
Nope.
Can it go up? What, you mean like in the next incarnation of Madden?
No, it can go up this year. It's all updates now.
Okay.
You do the update, you get the new numbers.
I can't believe he's...
You know that the Madden guys are in training camps, typically. It won't be the case this year. But the Madden... What do you call them? Scouts?
Designers?
They're scouts. The Madden scouts go to NFL training camps. They actually, I believe they did a segment on Hard Knocks, or they did a couple of minutes on Hard Knocks when it was the Browns. That was last year or 2 years ago. They showed the Madden guy at camp with his clipboard, updating the numbers, checking things out, making sure they're up to speed on things.
See, it's one thing to be the guy who just assumes you're going to follow in the footsteps of Tom Brady. It's hard for me to process that same guy is concerned about his Madden rating.
Right? A little different.
I mean, there's supreme confidence, and then there's like, wow, mind-blowing insecurity. You know, it embodied in the same person, in the same, you know, phenomenal athlete.
I will say this. Jake Bailey, only a 72. That's a crime.
I don't even know what it, I've never played Madden. Never played it. I have no idea how. Wouldn't know what to do.
617-779-0985. Let's get to who Cam Newton was working out with in recent days. We asked a question, I think, yesterday or the day before. Where's Julian Edelman? Well, now we know. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Do you hate when someone does that, Hardy? You start telling the story off the air.
Yeah, my,
and you can't finish it. You can't give you all the details of it. Get to it later.
Yeah, we don't have to.
We were asking a couple of days ago, where's Julian Edelman been? Where's he been working out? Now we know. West Coast camp. He's in the Patriots West camp with Cam Newton because as a part of Cam Newton's social media strategies, videos and such, there's a video of Julian Edelman working out with Cam Newton. And now that I'm thinking about that video, did you watch it, Hardy? Did you see the video?
Yes.
Did you happen to have the sound on when you played it?
I did not. I heard it. I heard Rich play it this morning.
Oh, so you know that it was Down With The Sickness is in the video.
Disturbed. David Draymond at, right. At his best.
Right?
Is he country artist too now?
Probably.
I feel like that might be the sound for the NFL's plowing through coronavirus. You could play Disturbed. That's what we could do. But anyway, he's out there working out with him. And we talked yesterday about how there could be lines being drawn. It's Hoyer and it's Stidham versus Cam. Well, if that is the case, then there are guys.
This is a big chip to fall.
There are guys who are aligning themselves with one of those players. And if you're asking me, the younger guys who are here, the rookies, I wouldn't even count them. They're in this area trying to get ready to join an NFL team. You know, Gunnar Olszewski or Dalton Keene or, you know, who are we really going to count as having pick sides? Sanu has worked out with everybody. So Sanu, he's just good teammate, wants to be with everybody. But N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman have worked out with Cam Newton. Thank you. Edelman, Harry, and Sanu, which arguably those are the top three Patriots receivers, right? I don't think there's much of an argument for other guys in the group. The top three guys.
That's it.
Have all worked out with Newton. And just look at Edelman's tweet or Instagram, whatever it was, when Newton got signed. I think Edelman is aligning himself with Cam Newton. He wants Cam Newton to be his quarterback. That's how it looks to me.
I mean,
which, by the way, he's right. He should want Cam Newton to be his quarterback.
If you're Julian Edelman, you can look at this one of two ways. I don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I have some familiarity with Jared Stidham, probably more with Brian Hoyer. I have none with Cam Newton. So I'm going to get some reps in with Cam just so I can be the most prepared. The other way is that guy is going to be the quarterback. I'm going to go work out with him. So out of those two scenarios, which do you think we saw in that Instagram video?
Number two. That's the Patriots quarterback. Therefore, I'm going to spend my time with him. And there's also, he's, I think, someone who lives on the West Coast anyway.
See, that's the other thing. They're both out there. You can't, you know, you're not, you know, bouncing back and forth between coasts like you normally would. So that's a big component in this, too. And for all I know, Julian Edelman called up Stidham and Hoyer and said, hey, man, I just want to, you know, catch some footballs. I'm going to go hang with Cam. But it doesn't mean anything. You cool with that? Yeah, we're cool with that. But then the video drops. You start to wonder, like, oh, maybe he's a little more into this than just having a catch.
Oh, June 30th, Julian Edelman had himself photoshopped into the picture with Cam Newton. Remember that?
Yeah.
Had himself put in it and then did the, you know, weird font and whatever you call them, punctuation marks all over the place that he posted, and it said Newton, Massachusetts, hashtag let's work. And he tagged Cam Newton in it. Did he do that for your boy Stiggy?
I don't remember that type of thing going on with Stiggy. Then again, it's much tougher to Photoshop yourself into an action photo with Jared Stidham.
Do you think,
unless you put on a college uniform, you know, and you can Photoshop that in.
Maybe he bought some cosmetics from Stidham as a way to just sort of soften the blow a little bit. You know, sort of like you buy Girl Scout cookies from someone in the office who you don't really get along with, but you're like, ah, you're not a bad guy. I'll buy some cookies.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, your kid's doing a candy bar fundraiser. I'll give you a couple of bucks.
Does Schneekloss sell them? Seems like Schneeks was selling Girl Scout cookies. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's possible in his house. Does he have any girls? I'll buy Girl Scout cookies from you. I'm going to go away for the weekend with this group of coworkers over here, but I'll buy Girl Scout cookies from you.
Right.
Is it really the same?
Hey, Stiggy, you got any of that anti-aging cream over there?
I need to take some with me out to L.A. where I'm going to hang out with Cam Newton for
a week, and
we're going to be in the sun a lot.
Just a little something, you know, to keep him close. It just feels like he's picking Newton as his guy. That's what it feels like to me. Let's go to Janet in Rhode Island. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today. I just really have an observation, and I know you guys are well aware of it, but I just want to remind everybody out there is, you know, the past is the past, and he may have been an MVP in the past, but the bottom line is right now, today, and the first game we play, we don't know what Stidham's capable of, and we don't know what Cam Newton's capable of. So right now, they're even in my mind.
Are they really even?
I mean, what they did in the past means nothing to me. What are you going to do for me now in the future?
Okay, but if you had to pick one quarterback, sight unseen, to be the starter for the Patriots week one, who would you go with?
Well, yeah, in that hypothetical, based on his past, probably Cam Newton, probably though. But
and Janet, that's kind of all we're talking about. It really is. We haven't seen Stidham do much with the Patriots. We haven't seen Cam Newton do anything with them, but you have to have you don't come to any situation completely open-minded sponge. No, we all have our baggage with us, and the tremendous amount of that baggage is seeing what Cam Newton was able to do, not only in the MVP season 5 years ago, but 2 years ago before he got injured, when that Carolina team was rolling, and it was due to him. How do you not factor that in? How do you not at least think about that when you're thinking about, you know, what are the different ways this season could play out with the Patriots? Is it going to be like a learning process for Stidham, or is it going to be some high flying offense and something exciting with Cam Newton? Well, I just think from a fan perspective, people are naturally going to gravitate toward the Cam Newton side just because it's impossible to ignore that stuff. We can't come into it as a blank slate. It's not a blank slate. One guy was an MVP. One guy looked really good 2 years ago. The other guy hasn't played. Why ignore everything? Bring that to the table. Allow that to be a part of the conversation. I guarantee they're allowing it in Foxborough, so we can allow it here.
You battle it out in all the preseason games, Hardy.
Oh, wait. I thought you were kicking the table over there, by the way.
No, it's the
hammering
guys.
They're hammering the floors again.
Well, yeah,
I thought the floor was done.
Were you here 2 days ago?
Yeah, I thought the floor was done, though.
They're extending it.
What do you mean done?
It's done. And it went out there this morning. It's done.
They were laying carpet out there in the hallway today.
They need to hammer down the carpet? It's like glued on.
Maybe it's behind us. They're finishing the spot behind us.
Oh, okay. It's not done over on that side.
Maybe they got some tacks.
I came in this morning. I said, look, wow, they finished overnight. It's done all the way to down here. Great job. I didn't realize there was still some of that Brazilian wormwood. What is it that you call it?
Brazilian wormwood.
Wormwood.
Wormwood. Jesus.
Wormwood.
Two hammer bangs and Zoe Jr. over here is like,
what's going on for a segment? I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, are you kicking the table? What is that noise?
No, the construction workers who have been here all week are constructing.
I thought the flooring was done.
Good grief.
I thought it was all over. I didn't realize it wasn't done.
There it is. All right. Just play the headline thing so McBone can do
something. Yeah, let's do that. And then a recap of last night's Red Sox game. Were you watching, Hardy? I was.
Yeah, I watched.
I was all in. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.